From the Beantown Athletic Studio in Boston, this is the Danny Picard Show, Friday, June 23rd, 2017. Today's show is presented by Beantown Athletics, your number one source for screen printing and embroidery. Go to BeantownAthletics.com right now to get a free quote for your customized apparel. Today's show is also presented by DraftKings. You can play for free at DraftKings.com by using my promo code PIC, that's P-I-C. At DraftKings, every day is a brand new season, especially during the Major League Baseball season, and it's easy. Just fill out your lineup and then follow the action live on your DraftKings app, and they have a brand new baseball feature on DraftKings. You're going to love it. It's called Arcade Mode. All you do is pick five hitters and one pitcher. That's right. Just five hitters and one pitcher, and you're going to love the scoring system for this. It literally takes you 20 seconds to fill out a lineup. It's so easy, and you can put together a different lineup every single day with a chance to win every single night. So what are you waiting for? Go to DraftKings.com right now or download their app and play for free by using my promo code PIC. That's P-I-C. Welcome to the show on this Friday, late morning, early afternoon. I just read you some of the sponsors to this show, obviously Beantown Athletics and DraftKings, and I guess if you're out there and you would like some free advertisement in exchange for air conditioning, I would gladly make that happen. And I bring in right now, install it, I'll give you a live reads, I'll give you tweets, Facebook posts, you name it. I'll do it for you because I need air conditioning in this studio. We don't have it. We did that's one thing that we forgot to do when we built this studio a couple years ago is install a proper ventilation system. We don't have that. But it's not even necessarily the heat that I can't take. It's that when we close the door in this studio and it gets so hot, there's just no air circulating around for me to breathe. And you heard me, what was it, last week or the week before, I took my remote microphones and I went outside in the back of Beantown Athletics where they were all working back there and I recorded a show back there walking around holding a microphone, holding my remote equipment. It was just as hot back there, but at least I can breathe. You know, the back door's wide open. There's open air circulating in and out. Even though it's hot as balls back there, there's still some air that lets you breathe. I can't breathe in here right now. So we're still going to do the show in here today because out back of Beantown Athletics, it's literally the busiest day that they have ever had. Everybody had to come in today, and they're all working hard back there, getting people's orders ready, whether it's summertime tournaments, getting T-shirts done, or whether it's just people at your own business getting orders in bulk. They're all back there working at Beantown Athletics, and there's just too many people back there. I wouldn't even be able to function with my microphone in hand today back there. So we got to do it in studio today, and there's a lot to talk about. But if you do want some free advertising in exchange for some type of air conditioning system that we could install here inside of Beantown Athletics, and more specifically here inside of the Danny Picard Show studio, hit me up or find a way to reach out to me. I'm not difficult to find or I'm not difficult to contact. So please reach out to me for that. But let's get right to it. Sending you into the weekend on this Friday, June 23rd. Again, I usually record Mondays and Thursdays, but since the NBA draft was last night on Thursday night, I felt the need to wait until after the NBA draft to record a podcast, sort of a reactionary podcast. So I am going to react to that right now. But also, I will get to the David Ortiz stuff, which basically is just simple. The Red Sox are retiring David Ortiz's number 34 tonight on this Friday night at Fenway Park. It's going to be a hot one. And I don't know if you remember the Pedro Martinez ceremony in which they retired number 45 a couple of years ago. I was in the building for that as a fan. And that was one of the hottest nights at Fenway that I've ever experienced, if you can remember that one. So I think it's going to be just as hot and just as muggy tonight at Fenway. So wear something cool. I will say this about the David Ortiz 34 ceremony tonight, is that it seems too soon. Like, it seems rushed. It seems like you know, I don't really understand why they're doing it right away so soon. The guy just retired. He has not even been retired for a full calendar year yet. And here we are putting his number 34 up at Fenway and telling people no one can wear it. Nobody was going to wear 34 anyways, even if they didn't officially do it this season. They weren't going to let anybody wear 34, much like the Red Sox have never let anybody wear number 21. Roger Clemens is number 21. And you know, whenever they bring up somebody's retirement ceremony at Fenway, you know, they did Pedro recently, they did Wade Boggs recently, they're going to do David Ortiz tonight. I always say, well, if you're not going to let anybody wear 21, which you haven't since Roger Clemens, you know, left town, then why don't you just retire it? Just retire 21. It deserves to be put up there with all those other numbers. But, you know, maybe that's for another show because there's a lot more to talk about tonight. But the David Ortiz stuff, I guess I won't even save it for the end of the show. We'll just get it out of the way right now. It just seems rushed to me. It seems, and I don't really understand why they're doing it right now. I know they've given their explanations and reasoning, but that doesn't even make sense to me. Why can't you wait until next season? Wait 2 years. Nobody's going to think anything less of David Ortiz. In fact, it might even let us enjoy it a little bit more. Gives us a little bit more of a nostalgic feeling. David Ortiz walks out to that field tonight, and you're retiring number 34, and we're all looking at him going, and not just us, but even the team, the players. John Farrell, for crying out loud. They're looking at David Ortiz going, you could be in our lineup tonight against the Angels, and you could probably go 3-for-4 with a home run and 3 RBIs. And this Red Sox team needs him. So, yeah, the Red Sox, they're tied for first place heading into this weekend series with the Angels. They're tied with the Yankees for first place in the AL East. But so they're right there in the race. But still, just seeing David Ortiz out there tonight, everybody and their mother's going to be watching this thing going, he could still play. I get it. Injuries, he doesn't want to play, all of that. I get it. But to me, this retirement ceremony, it just seems too soon. It seems rushed. Why do you got to do it right away? I don't understand that. But they're going to do it tonight, and I'm sure it's going to be a pretty cool moment at Fenway. And I guess they'll move on officially from David Ortiz tonight when they put number 34 up with the other numbers that are retired in the Red Sox organization. But like I said, there's a lot more to talk about, and the top story today is the reaction to the NBA draft last night, and here in Boston, more specifically, the reaction from a Celtics standpoint. Here's what's going on right now as we speak, as I do this podcast. In Waltham, at the Celtics practice facility, they are having a press conference. They are introducing Jason Tatum as the newest member of the Boston Celtics. He's holding up a jersey. I just saw a picture wearing number 11. Jason Tatum will wear number 11. The Celtics drafted Jason Tatum last night with the number 3 overall pick. The number 3 overall pick. They take the kid from Duke, Jason Tatum. Here's what we know about him. He can shoot, right? He can shoot. If there's anything that you should know, if you're asking, well, what does Jason Tatum bring to the table coming out of Duke? Here's the one thing you should know. He plays the wing, and he can shoot. He play the 3, play the 4. You're going to ask the Celtics where he can play. They'll tell you it doesn't even matter. And in this day and age in the NBA, I think to get your panties in a bunch over guys that play the 2, 3, or the 4, I don't think you should get too worked up about that. I think you're wasting your time getting your panties in a bunch about that because it just everybody shoots. The big men shoot. The centers go out and shoot. You know, the 3s and the 4s can handle the ball, can bring the ball up the court. It's just size does not matter anymore because these kids who are even 6'8 to 6'10 to 7 feet, they're all athletic, they all can handle the ball, and they all can shoot from the outside. I mean, for crying out loud, we were just talking about Kristaps Porzingis and a potential blockbuster trade there the last couple days. He's 7'3", shooting the ball from behind the arc. So, to get worked up about what position Jason Tatum's going to play, I think is wasting your time. All you need to know about him is that he can shoot, and that's what he's going to be known for. So, Jason Tatum gets drafted by the Celtics last night with the number 3 overall pick. As expected, Markelle Fultz got drafted number one overall to the Philadelphia 76ers. Lonzo Ball went number two overall to the Los Angeles Lakers. And then you had Josh Jackson go number four overall to the Phoenix Suns with the Sacramento Kings, taking De'Aaron Fox at number five. Jonathan Isaac getting taken number six by the Orlando Magic. And the Minnesota Timberwolves, well, they took, see, they make the pick at number seven overall in Lauri Markkanen, and I think I'm pronouncing that right, kid from Arizona. Timberwolves make the pick, but obviously you heard about the trade going into this pick, in which this pick from the Timberwolves, Lauri Markkanen, he's going to go to the Chicago Bulls. And he's going to go to the Bulls along with Chris Dunn and along with the kid LaVine. And Jimmy Butler's going to go from the Bulls to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So even though it says the Timberwolves made the pick at seven overall, they actually send this pick, Markkanen, to Chicago along with two players. And the Bulls send Jimmy Butler to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And, you know, that was probably the biggest move of the night, right? That was the biggest story of the night in the NBA, is that Jimmy Butler is getting traded, and he's getting traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And you got to look at the Timberwolves now and think, they got Karl Anthony Towns, they got Wiggins, they have Jimmy Butler. That's a pretty damn good team they have in Minnesota. Can they put it all together? We're going to find out. But I think that's a good move if you're Minnesota, to give up that number seven overall pick along with Dunn, along with LaVine, and you get Jimmy Butler. He's an all-star. I like the move. The Chicago Bulls, I think they were in position where they were asking around. They were trying to get the Celtics to trade them either the number three overall pick or next year's Brooklyn Nets pick. And at least for right now, at least for last night, the Celtics were not going to do that. And I think Chicago, if they were getting off at a top 10 pick in this year's draft, along with a couple other players, young players, and a kid in Chris Dunn, then they just obviously felt the need to do that. They couldn't pass on that because at the end of the day, they didn't know if the Celtics would ever trade them the Brooklyn pick, you know, later in the offseason. They had no idea. So, look, I think it makes sense. I think the move makes sense for both sides. I mean, if you're a Chicago Bulls fan, you probably want to hold on to Jimmy Butler, but the more that you hear that just wasn't going to happen, you had to get something for him. And like I told you earlier in the week, as each day passes, the Chicago Bulls lose leverage on a trade for Jimmy Butler. So I actually think it's a good deal. And I think it, based on the circumstances, I think it's a good deal for both sides. So the Timberwolves are going to acquire Jimmy Butler in that trade, but that was the biggest story of the night in the NBA, was that trade. Everything else, I mean, kind of how we expected, at least if you just want to stick to the top three, where Fultz goes one to the 76ers, Ball goes two to the Lakers, and Tatum goes three to the Celtics. You know, the stories on Josh Jackson are starting to come out, where Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens were on their way to fly out to Sacramento, was it? The other night, to meet with Josh Jackson, for a workout with Josh Jackson, and on their way to meet with him, cross country, I think, what were they, in flight? While they were on their way, they were told that the meeting of the workout with Josh Jackson was canceled by Josh Jackson and his people. So, that's a tough look. And it's a tough look for Jackson because it makes him look like a prick. But I also think it's kind of a tough look for the Celtics because when you trade out of number one overall, and you're going to tell me today that Tatum was the guy that you would have taken at number one overall, then why were you going to meet with Josh Jackson last minute? Why were you willing to travel cross-country to meet with a player that you weren't going to take? I guess the argument would be, well, they tried to make that trip because in case the Lakers took Tatum, then you were going to take Jackson, but you wanted to meet with him first, right? But I mean, all indications from the Lakers aspect point towards the Lakers were going to take Lonzo Ball once they traded D'Angelo Russell to the Nets the other night, right? So when the Celtics are going to try last minute to fly cross country to meet with Josh Jackson. And maybe I'm misinterpreting this story. I don't know. But they did want to meet with him. And they tried to meet with him. And then Jackson canceled last minute while they were on their way to go meet with him. But it makes Jackson look like a prick. But I think it's also a bad look for the Celtics because you're telling me Tatum's your guy. Why are you going to work out Jackson? Right? What are you doing that for? And if you're telling me that maybe you're lying about Tatum being your guy and Jackson might have been your guy if he wasn't such a prick, then I'm looking at trading out a number one overall going, perhaps that was a bad move. Now, I've already questioned this move. I questioned it in a column I wrote for the Boston Metro earlier this week. I questioned it on Monday's podcast that I recorded with Brandon Wahlberg. He joined me in studio Monday. Go listen to that. It was my reaction to the Celtics trading out of number one overall. I told you how I feel. I didn't feel right about passing up on Markelle Fultz. And you know what? I still don't. So as I watched this draft take place last night, and I see the Celtics take the number 3 overall pick. They don't trade it. There were crazy trade rumors going in. We heard Kristaps Porzingis' name. We heard Paul George's name. We heard Jimmy Butler's name. We heard other names, DeAndre Jordan's name. There were some other things going on. All these crazy trade rumors that we heard, none of them went down, at least from the Celtics standpoint, none of them went down. And they kept the number 3 overall pick after trading out of number 1 overall, and they took Jason Tatum. I told you the other day, or at least I tweeted, my expectation was that the Celtics weren't going to make the crazy trade. They were going to keep the 3 pick. They were going to take Tatum. And then they would get to the free agent market and perhaps then even the trade market and kick the tires again in a couple weeks on Jimmy Butler. Well, you can cross the Jimmy Butler name off your list because, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, he's been traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. But the Celtics last night, my reaction to what they did was, look, Tatum can shoot, fine. I wanted them to make the pick. I did not want them to trade number 3 overall to get Jimmy Butler. I did not want them to trade number 3 overall to get a rental and Paul George. If you were going to trade 3 overall, in my opinion, it was going to be in a deal for Kristaps Porzingis. But everything you heard from the reports coming out of Knicks camp is that the Knicks were asking for a crazy trade. And you know what? I'm not shocked by that. Because I would have been shocked if the Knicks actually traded Porzingis. 21, 22 years old. He's a freak. Why would you trade him? Because he missed an exit meeting? I'm sorry. That's a stupid reason to trade a young player like that who you should be trying to build around. So when I did see the return that the Knicks were trying to get in exchange for Porzingis, I wasn't surprised because it basically told me they weren't really going to trade him. And you know what? Even if the Celtics wanted to meet their demands and they wanted to get nuts and completely unload for Porzingis, which again, I don't know that I would have been opposed to. At that point, it's like, get Porzingis to Boston. Let's say the Celtics were to agree to the number 3 overall pick, next year's Brooklyn pick, more future picks, Jay Crowder, Jaylen Brown, right? You know what the Knicks would have said? I'm convinced of this. You know what the Knicks would have said? They would have said, and we want something else. Like, I honestly believe, after listening to Phil Jackson the other night, he went on TV, he went on MSG Network, and he basically said, look, we love the kid, but we got to do what's best for the team. And it's just an exit meeting that they're all worked up about. I'm telling you right now, I think they were just trying to send a message. I don't think they were really trading Porzingis. And I told you before, if they did trade Porzingis, it would be the dumbest move. I don't care what the return was. I think that would be the dumbest move that I've ever seen in the NBA, or at least that I've seen in a very long, dumbest move that I've seen in a long, long time. You could not trade Porzingis. The Knicks didn't trade Porzingis. I don't think they're going to trade Porzingis, because if they were, it was going to be before the draft last night. But the Celtics are rumored to be involved, right? And if you're the Celtics, going into the draft last night, I said, if you're going to trade number 3 overall, you only trade it for Porzingis, okay? That's all you do. They didn't. They made the pick. They took Tatum. There were no fireworks last night coming from the Boston Celtics. However, towards the end of the night, there's this rumor that started circulating that the Celtics were in on Paul George. After Butler's been traded to Minnesota, we started hearing rumors that the Celtics are in on a potential trade for Paul George. Paul George, you know his contract situation? He can opt out after this upcoming season. He's also let it be known that he wants to go play in L.A. You can make the argument that he's talking about playing for the Lakers. I look at the Clippers and think, well, if LeBron's going to the Clippers, because I don't think LeBron's going to the Lakers, but I do think LeBron's going to L.A., LeBron goes to the Clippers, maybe Paul George goes with him. All we know is this. Paul George has 1 year left on his deal, and then he's going to L.A. That's what he's told people around the league. That's very well known in the NBA right now. So I personally would not be, if I'm Danny Ainge, I would not be spending too much time trying to work out a Paul George trade, because you also got to make the money work, right? You got to make the money work. And what would the money be? The money would be Crowder and Zeller. You know, Zeller's expiring contract. Crowder's contract that, you know, is a very friendly contract to you for the type of player that he is. And maybe also Indiana's looking for a draft pick. I wouldn't give up too much for Paul George, which is why I don't know that I'd waste too much time on that. Now, there's also a report that perhaps the Celtics and Paul George are kicking around this idea that Paul George might sign an extension. To that I say, all right, I'm all in on that. If Paul George is going to sign an extension with you, and you're going to be able to keep him around for five more years, then you make that trade. But here's the problem at that point. The problem then becomes Indiana's asking price is going to skyrocket, right? It's going to skyrocket. So now you have to ask the question, if you do have an extension with Paul George, what do you have to give up to get him? They have time to work this thing out. They do. Now that the draft's over, if we're still talking about this, they have time to work it out. But one thing I don't understand as I'm hearing now is Gordon Hayward's name. If you're going to trade for Paul George, what the fuck does Gordon Hayward have to do with that? I know you say, well, salary, you know, the Celtics need a, you know, the salary cap is a certain number. It's not maybe skyrocketing as much as maybe teams thought. Gordon Hayward's going to want a big contract. Here's the deal. If you trade for Paul George, which again, I'm all in on, if there's an extension in place, if you trade for Paul George with an extension in place, you don't need Gordon Hayward. Then tell Gordon Hayward to screw. Gordon Hayward, you know what? Stay in Utah. We don't care. Like the Celtics, I have this feeling I have with the Celtics that's not a good feeling. And there's a couple things that are related to this feeling. One, I already told you, I have a bad feeling about passing on Markelle Fultz. I do. I still have a bad feeling about that. Watching Markelle Fultz get drafted by the 76ers does not feel right to me. Knowing that the Celtics had the number one overall pick, and everybody and their mother was saying that Markelle Fultz is the guy that's the best player in this draft. Okay? And the Celtics passed on that to take a kid that they say they would have taken number one overall. I don't have a good feeling about passing on Markelle Fultz. I also, when you get into free agency, I don't have a good feeling about Gordon Hayward. Mainly because people are talking about Gordon Hayward like he is this superstar player in the NBA, to the point where I think we're beginning to make Gordon Hayward out to be something that he's not. And I want to be careful here because I'm not trying to knock Gordon Hayward and saying that he's a stiff. He's not. He's a very good player. He averaged, what, 21 points a game last year? But he's around the same age as Paul George. But if you line them up against the wall, who would you take? I'd take Paul George, and I wouldn't even think twice about it. I'd take Paul George before I took Gordon Hayward. Even though you'd have to give up assets in a trade to get Paul George. If you told me George had an extension in place, I'd rather make the trade for George than sign Gordon Hayward. I'm sorry, I would, because I think George is a better player than Gordon Hayward. But the amount of time that we've spent in this town talking about Gordon Hayward, tweeting about Gordon Hayward, we have turned Gordon Hayward into a potential Celtics player that's going to have his number hung in the rafters. Please. The kid needs to go out and do something in the league before I can put him there. So, this love fest for Gordon Hayward is also coming from the Celtics organization. All right? Because there's a reason we keep talking about him. Because they're linked to him. Why are they linked to him? Couple of reasons. One, Brad Stevens loves him. Brad Stevens coached Gordon Hayward in college. I don't think you should sign an NBA player to a big money contract or trade for an NBA player. I don't think you should acquire an NBA player just because your coach coached him in college and it worked out in college. I don't think that... It's a different league. All right? And I don't think that you should be acquiring a player because of that. But Danny Ainge also seems to have fallen in love with Gordon Hayward. If I'm going to believe the reports that are out there and the reason that this kid's name keeps getting linked to the Celtics, you know, Chris Mannix from The Vertical, Yahoo Sports, was in studio not too long ago, and he told me during the playoffs that the Celtics were going to roll out the red carpet for Gordon Hayward. They love him. Danny Ainge falls in love with guys. And he fell in love with Gordon Hayward a long time ago. Now, he's still in love with him. To the point where perhaps they've turned Gordon Hayward into somebody that he's not. I'm not saying he wouldn't help the Celtics team. I'm not saying that he's not a very good player. But perhaps they've turned him into somebody that he's not. And that mentality also scares me with Jason Tatum. Scares me with Tatum. And it's back to my whole thing with Fultz and number one overall. Last night after the draft, Celtics president Rich Gotham was on, what was he, on the radio? Then he was on TV. He did his media rounds last night. And Rich Gotham kept saying that Danny Ainge basically fell in love with Jason Tatum when he was in high school, a couple years ago. And so Danny Ainge has had his eye on Jason Tatum for a long time. Did his love for Jason Tatum, did that affect his ability to see Markelle Fultz for what he actually is, which everybody else is telling us Markelle Fultz is the guy? In fact, let me read on ESPN.com right now. This is a day after the draft. Markelle Fultz, number one overall pick. He was a number one pick in a lot of mock drafts, most mock drafts going into the draft. The Celtics had number one. They trade down with Philly to also get, you know, basically the swap from 1 to 3 and to get the future first round pick, which is either going to be the Lakers in 2018 or the Sacramento Kings in 2019. So I'm reading on ESPN.com. Number one overall, Markelle Fultz gets selected. These are the results. This is from Chad Ford. Right? Here we go. Here's what it says about Markelle Fultz, what he brings. Fultz is the most complete prospect in the draft. He has great size and athleticism for his position and can do just about anything he wants offensively. He's a great shooter, ball handler, passer, and finisher at the basket. There are some questions about his defense, but overall, NBA GMs feel he's the safest pick in the draft. That's Chad Ford. Chad Ford also writes the next category under Markelle Fultz's name, under a column which says, how he fits. Chad Ford writes, Fultz is the perfect fit for the Sixers. They needed a big guard who can play both on and off the ball, stretch the floor, and guard both backcourt positions. He's the perfect complement to Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. The Sixers now have their big three. If they can stay healthy, they'll terrorize the league in a few years. End quote from Chad Ford, ESPN. But it's really the first part that gets me going. Again, the most complete prospect in the draft. Okay? He can do just about anything he wants offensively. He's a great shooter. He's a great ball handler, passer, and finisher at the basket. These things that are being said about Markelle Fultz, a day after the draft, this is not new. These are things that have been said for the last 3-4 months about him by most people who cover the league. And they're getting this stuff from NBA GMs, most NBA GMs, right? So Danny Ainge saw something different. And I told you when the 76ers drafted Fultz last night, that wasn't going to feel right to me. And as I watched it, it still didn't feel right. Didn't feel right that Fultz wasn't coming to the Celtics. Instead, he's going to the 76ers. You see Tatum, then you hear them talk about him after. How Danny Ainge basically fell in love with Tatum a couple of years ago when he was in high school. And that scares me. I'm not going to lie. That, when I hear that come out last night, that scares me. Because now, you know, I don't know if Danny Ainge was able to evaluate Markelle Fultz properly. I'm going to be quite honest with you. And I think Fultz is going to be a stud. And now you hear stories on Isaiah Thomas. Still not healthy with the hip. Is he going to have surgery? Doesn't know if he's going to have surgery yet. He's not back on his feet yet. Right? What's going on with that? Next year is the last year of his contract. Last time I checked, he has a choice as well. You know what would scare me with Isaiah Thomas? The idea that the Clippers could be getting set for a super team if LeBron goes there. If you don't trade for Paul George and Paul George goes there. Even if Paul George doesn't, if LeBron goes, they bring in DeMarcus Cousins, who's a free agent next offseason as well. And Isaiah Thomas next offseason, a free agent. You know, it looks like the Clippers might lose Chris Paul to what, San Antonio? We'll see what happens there. What happens to Blake Griffin? I don't know. DeAndre Jordan, they're trying to trade him. I just feel like the Clippers are trying to do something right now. And it doesn't look like they're trying to bring back all those guys. Which means that there's another game plan they have. And I connect the dots, and I think the Clippers are getting set for the next super team. And I think that's going to be centered around LeBron James. One thing that would scare me with that is Isaiah Thomas going to be a free agent next year. If you don't sign him to a deal, I don't know. There's this thought process now that I'm looking at the draft last night. I'm seeing Fultz get taken number one overall, and it doesn't feel right to me because I feel like he should still be taken by the Celtics. Jason Tatum gets taken number three. All right, could be a very good player. He's a good shooter. But the way the Celtics talk about him, it also kind of contradicts the fact that they were going to meet with Josh Jackson last minute, and they were willing to make that trip. If Tatum's your guy, why are you making that trip? But if you fell in love with Tatum while he was in high school, did that affect the way you were able to see someone like Markelle Fultz? Because everybody else is telling me Fultz is, I'm not saying he's LeBron. I'm not saying that he's going to be Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. I'm not saying those things at all. What I am telling you about Fultz is he's a 6'5" point guard with a wingspan of 6'10". And he shot over 40% from the three-point line in college, averaged 23 points a game. He's got the nice step-back jumper. He can finish around the basket. They say he's got unique athleticism for a big kid. I mean, he's 19 years old. Everybody else had him going number one overall. And perhaps you should have just stuck with number one and taken Fultz. Because now you hear the Paul George rumors. You're talking about Gordon Hayward. Here's the thing. Here's my biggest takeaway and how I feel about what we saw last night. I was literally pacing around my house last night. Had a crack of Bud Light. Pacing when this draft was over. And I'm not going to lie, I checked out of the draft middle to late of the first round. I was drafted out. But I'm pacing last night. Cracked a Bud Light. Walking around, going, are the Celtics, this is the question I was asking myself, are the Celtics overthinking this? Did they overthink this? Did Danny Ainge fall in love with a kid in Jason Tatum that he's been watching since high school and pass up on a kid who's going to be a stud and an elite point guard in this league in Fultz? Are we still talking about a Paul George trade? Is that overthinking it? Or Gordon Hayward, is that overthinking it? Did the Celtics overthink this thing? Honestly, like, Jaylen Brown, they won't give him up. So they obviously think he's a special player, right? You have Brooklyn's pick in 2018. If that's number one overall, I am reading a mock draft right now for 2018. And the way they project, the Nets is that the Celtics are going to have the number one overall pick. You're looking at Michael Porter Jr., what, a 6'10" kid, play the four, play the three, play the four, who knows, play the five at 6'10", and can shoot from the outside. You know, if you get that pick, are you looking at Jaylen Brown, Michael Porter Jr. future? And, all right, you got Tatum, but could you have had Fultz getting ready to be the point guard of the future? And maybe slide Isaiah Thomas over to the two? If you do re-sign Isaiah Thomas? I mean, could this thing have been simplified like this? You have the number one overall pick. You take Fultz. Okay? And then you say to yourself, forget about trades. We're going to keep the Brooklyn pick in 2018. Even, you know, Paul George, forget about it. Here's what we need. We need rebounding. And we need shooting. Keep the Brooklyn pick because we want to get the kid Porter next year and just sign someone. And if to me, I think the guy you should sign is Blake Griffin. I think Blake Griffin is the guy you should sign. He's a better rebounder than anybody you got. He's around the same age, 27, 28. The thing with Blake Griffin is you're afraid that maybe he's going to get hurt, right? Because that's been his career in the NBA. He's somebody that gets hurt a lot. That would be a fear to give him the money. Or you heard something last night, and this makes more sense maybe than anything, from Brian Scalabrine, and I do believe that Scal talks with a purpose, with somebody in his ear. Scal is a former Celtic. He works for Comcast Sportsnet. He has a lot of ties to the NBA. He has a lot of ties to the Celtics. He hears things. And I think sometimes he repeats them. Does he put his own twist on it at times? Maybe. But I think sometimes with Scal, with things that he says, where there's smoke, there's fire. Or at least the idea that he comes with, the idea that he comes up with is not necessarily his idea. Last night, after the draft, Brian Scalabrine said that the Celtics could possibly be in on trading for Kevin Love. And here's what Kevin Love does for you. He gives you rebounding. He's a phenomenal rebounder. And he can shoot from the outside. He's 28 years old. Kevin Love is maybe the guy that you're looking at if you're going to make the trade. It's nice that Paul George can shoot. And you might have to talk about an extension. But if there's some type of three-team deal in which, I don't know, maybe you help the Cavaliers. Maybe you send a Brooklyn pick and a Crowder Zeller to a Brooklyn pick to Indy. They trade George to Cleveland, and maybe Cleveland also gets Crowder from you, and then Cleveland sends you Love, and it's just a rental for George. Is that something that works? I don't know. Like, I get you got to get a little more creative. I'm just thinking, can you land Kevin Love? Because with all the options that you could that you could possibly come up with that the Celtics should pull the trigger on, what is it? Let's simplify this thing. Honestly, let's simplify it. And when I simplify it, last night, in my head, I'm thinking to myself, I hear Kevin Love's name, and I think, wow, I'd try to make a trade for Kevin Love if the Cavaliers are willing to do some type of three-team deal. I would do that. I'd do it. I'd make a trade, and I'd bring in Kevin Love. Because I think he gives you what you need, rebounding and scoring from the outside, someone who could shoot. Or I'd simplify it even more. I would have probably drafted Fultz number one overall, and I would have just signed Griffin. Forget about Hayward. Forget about even trading for George. You should have drafted Fultz one overall, signed Blake Griffin, and then keep the Brooklyn pick next year and hope that you get Michael Porter Jr. And what are you doing then? You're looking at a big three in the future of Jaylen Brown, a point guard of Markelle Fultz that they say can do anything he wants offensively, and Michael Porter Jr., who can play the four and also shoot, who's a big at 6'10". That's not a bad big three, right? Instead, we're talking about a 76ers big three, and we're talking about the Celtics taking some type of gamble on Jason Tatum, trading down at number 3 overall, and trying to figure out what other move is out there to make. It's been a complicated process with the Celtics, and it's been complicated to sort of comprehend what they're trying to do with all these assets. And last night when I see Fultz go 1 of the 76ers, I see Tatum go 3 to the Celtics, then I hear Kevin Love's name, you start reading crazy shit on Twitter about Paul George. You don't know if he's going to want the extension, or if he's going to want to stay around Boston or not. I just think there's so many unknowns. You talk about Gordon Hayward. What's he going to be if he comes into this market, into Boston? Will he be able to handle it here on top of all the other things we talked about with him? Maybe the Celtics just need to simplify it. Take the best available player in the draft when you had the chance in Fultz and sign somebody who suits some of your needs. And Blake Griffin, someone who can be a physical player down low. Somebody who can rebound better than anybody you got if you can keep him on the court. And then you keep the Brooklyn pick and you take Porter Jr. next year. And you hope that you create, you know, keep Isaiah around. And while you're keeping this team around to compete in the East, you're also hoping that you create a big three of the point guard in Fultz, of the scoring wing in Jaylen Brown, and also the big who can shoot in Michael Porter Jr. That seems like a simple game plan. And on top of it, if you wanted to say, you know what, we'll get a little nuts, we won't sign Griffin, but we'll trade for Kevin Love, that's even more simple, I think, than trading for Paul George. That's even more simple, I think, than trying to bring Gordon Hayward into this team and hope that he becomes a superstar. He was an all-star last year, but is he a superstar? I'm not going there with him. I just think it's been a somewhat complicated process that maybe the Celtics should have simplified it. So if I'm the Celtics, I would have taken Fultz. Then you're talking about signing Griffin. Then you're talking about keeping the Brooklyn pick next year. And if you really wanted to get nuts, let's talk about a three-team deal that's going to end up bringing Kevin Love to Boston. And the Celtics didn't do that. And now we're asking more questions. And who knows, by the time you listen to this, maybe the Celtics trade for Paul George. I told you I'd be for it. But I don't know. Something tells me that's not going to happen. There's a reason why we heard Paul George wants to go to L.A. If he's not going to sign an extension or agree to an extension in Boston, which I don't think he's going to do, I'd love for him to do, but I don't think he's going to do, then if he's not going to sign that, then I think you just move on. Maybe focus on Love. But last night, ultimately, watching Markelle Fultz get drafted by the 76ers did not feel right. Hearing Rich Gotham talk about how Danny Ainge fell in love with Jason Tatum when he was in high school a couple years ago, just didn't feel right. Didn't feel right. Looking at this Celtics team right now, they're going to contend for the Eastern Conference Championship next year again. But I think some of the other things we're talking about, like Gordon Hayward and the link and the love that they have for Hayward, just kind of doesn't feel right to me. There's some things with the Celtics that don't feel right. I'm not panicking, and I'm not telling you that the sky's falling. Celtics are in good position, given all the assets they do have and the picks they still have in the future. But there are some things to me that don't feel right. And so I didn't watch that draft last night going, great night for the Celtics. I didn't. I hope Tatum's a very good player. I hope he can shoot as well as people tell me he can shoot. But I just could not help but think that you had number one overall, and everybody and their mother's telling us that Fultz is the best player in this draft, and you decided not to go with that. And to me, that just doesn't feel right. So, we'll find out. But I'm not overly enthused with the draft or what happened at the draft. I'm glad they kept the pick and made the pick, but I would have preferred Fultz. And when you come into free agency now and you're telling me you're going to sign either Hayward or Griffin, I'd rather see Griffin. And if you're telling me you're going to make a trade, are you going to rent Paul George? I wouldn't do that. Is George going to sign an extension? That'd be great. I don't think he's going to do that. Could you go out and acquire Kevin Love, I'd be all for that. I would. I'd be all for that. But, you know, perhaps, and I do forget that if you're going to, hey, if you're going to trade for Love, you might not have, you might not be able to get the Kid Porter. You probably won't be able to get the Kid Porter Jr. next year because you'll have to give that pickup in some type of three-team trade. Or do you just go sign Griffin and hope that you can draft Porter next year? Maybe that's what you do. Or did Danny Ainge fall in love with somebody else that right now is projected to go 3 or 4 in next year's draft? We'll see. But I just, like I said, I told you how I was gonna, how I thought I was gonna feel going into the draft, and this is exactly how I feel after watching Markelle Fultz get drafted by the 76ers and not the Celtics. Just doesn't feel right. And I just feel like maybe the Celtics should simplify some things. And they're making it a little more complicated than it has to be. But that's my thoughts. We'll find out. We'll see what happens. And, you know, we'll all move on at some point. But it's going to be interesting to see what Markelle Fultz is going to do in Philly, because I think he is going to be one heck of a player. So that's all we got today. I got to get the fuck out of here. I am sweating my balls off. And it's just anybody, if you know anyone that could provide us with some type of ventilation system and an air conditioning service, I'm telling you right now, we'll do the exchange. I'll give you reads. Make it happen. Reach out to me. Please do it. Because the more shows that I do in this type of environment, the more likely it is that I do not make it through a show very soon. Okay? So, we gotta get out of here. Get this show whenever you want at DannyPicard.com. Also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, anywhere podcasts are available. Also, part of the Podcast One Network. Get their app right now. It's a new and improved app. Download it. You're gonna love it. And you can get this show on that app. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll be back on Monday. Talk to you then.